we thought everything was the right length, but this is not.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're joined by our friend Shannon to discuss Ilhan Omar, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, Israel and Palestine. Oh my God, it gets real serious.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
That's me.
And today we have an amazing guest. She is awesome. I like her very much. Her name is Shannon, our friend Shannon. Hi.
Hi.
Yay.
Hi, friend Shannon.
Yes. And so we've invited Shannon on to talk about something so hilarious, you guys.
Oh, this
so
is going to be the funniest podcast we've ever done.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Israel and Palestine.
And
anti-Semitism in the United States and Ilhan Omar and all of it.
It's so hilarious.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
We can like make this like a tight 30 minutes, though.
Oh,
I mean, like, not a big topic.
We'll
no, we got it.
We'll
yeah, we got
solve.
It.
Yeah.
We got it.
Yeah, I mean, like, if four people who are from Minnesota who are huge convergence geeks can't solve it, who can?
Nobody.
No one can.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, wait, nobody has solved it. Shit.
So, Shannon, I wanted to talk to you about this for a couple of reasons. You are an outspoken feminist, and I really appreciate your views.
I'm even wearing my nasty woman shirt
right
now.
Yeah,
can confirm.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate you have a good measured take on things, which I really appreciate with people in terms of politics. Also, you are Jewish?
Yes.
Yes. And so this is, I think it's important to, there's a lot of lenses to go through here with what's going on. Are you a religious person?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Basically only because I like found synagogues with communities that are cool. So like in town I go to Shir Tikva, which is an amazing synagogue founded mm-hmm. by a gay woman rabbi.
That's awesome.
So yeah.
Yeah. Judaism has been, would you say it's been ahead of the times on like accepting women and people on the gay community in power?
So ahead of the times, whenever it was adopted, which was within the last century, is already too fucking late.
But, sure. Yes, we all agree.
So I would say like reform and reconstructionist synagogues have been good about that. Conservative, getting there. They're even getting there on some gender issues, which is cool.
That's impressive.
Orthodox, no.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Orthodox is right out. That's like the Roman Catholic version of, like, it's never going to change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, according to Orthodox Jews, I am not Jewish.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, exciting for you.
Because my mom and aunt being able to, like, stump rabbis in conversations growing up wasn't enough to make up for the fact that their mom wasn't Jewish.
Oh, so you go far enough back and that's, David Cross has a really funny bit about, like, being asked if he's Jewish, and he's like, you know, well, you know, not really. And they're like, well, was your mom Jewish? And it's like, yes. And it's like, it's just how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting to me that it's based on the matriarchal line when the...
It's all about not trusting non-Jewish women.
Yeah, right? It really is.
That explains a lot.
So speaking
Actually, no, it doesn't explain anything.
Speaking
I'm
of not
sorry.
Trusting non-Jewish women...
I'm not a Jewish
Senator
woman.
Ilhan Omar.
Representative.
Thank you. Representative Ilhan Omar has come under fire for tweets, basically, that she's made criticizing AIPAC, AIPAC, which is a, I don't have the actual, I just realized I don't have it written out anywhere.
Right, but yeah, a pro-Israel lobby.
Yes,
yeah.
A pro-Israel lobby in the United States that is very well-funded and very large.
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately, because...
The American-Israel Public Affairs Committee.
Thank you. Because Representative Omar is a Muslim woman.
Yes.
And a black Muslim woman.
Yes.
On top of that, we should neglect to say that.
Yeah.
She's also an immigrant.
And an immigrant.
Yeah.
Somali. And so there is her, I think it's safe to say her words come under greater scrutiny.
Oh, I think that's definitely safe to say.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, right, there are a lot of anti-Semitic tropes that you could can be waved at my people. I think Ilhan accidentally stumbled into a couple of them.
Yes.
She did stumble into things that could be interpreted as anti-Semitic. However, our own fucking president has wandered in, like, run into them, like the wall he wants to build.
Like, it's super confusing to me that people would are so, like, oblivious to the dog whistling that goes on the right, and yet Ilhan says something like she accidentally says she's allegiance to a foreign country, and everyone loses their minds, right?
Right.
Please.
Just if the party of Steve King
is
sitting there criticizing Representative Omar, we've got a problem.
They've got David Duke. I mean, he ran
for president as a Republican.
I think that, you know, we'll talk about like how words matter and stuff, I'm sure, but outside of those tropes, like if those tropes didn't exist, would what she had said been a problem or inaccurate?
I don't think so, because specifically she was talking about lobbying. So there's the one from like a couple of years ago, which was about Israel. What was it? Mesmerizing or hypnotizing?
Israel has hypnotized the world, which is...
With money. I think she said with money, just makes it like...
That's bad.
That's
kind of a Gnomes of Zurich reference. Yes. Yeah.
So that one was bad.
And she deleted it unequivocally apologized. She was you're completely right. That was, I am so sorry. Yep,
absolutely. I have other Jewish friends who are friends with her, and like they're going, it was a mistake.
Yeah.
So, it is absolutely because of the double standard, triple standard she's being held to.
Yeah. It's something that I think is interesting to ask, and I just kind of want to ask it to the group. Like, so is it a distraction to focus on her words rather than like what she's trying to say? Or is it important that we continue to be watchdogs in that way because of all the dog whistling that goes on? And if you aren't familiar with the term dog whistling, it's something that generally white supremacists do to signal to other white supremacists. It's coded language. It's using keywords
it's a verbal secret handshake.
Yeah.
Also provides plausible deniability because you can be like, well, I didn't actually say anything anti-Semitic.
Right now it's subscribe to PewDiePie. That is a dog whistle.
Or like using the word, calling out Soros, basically. A lot of times when people mention George Soros, that's what they're...
Globalism.
Globalism. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They don't mean what they're saying. But
so is it a distraction or is it important that people are actually paying attention at this level?
Can it be both?
I think it can be. It would be nice if it was applied to the people who are using blatant anti-Semitism.
You mean like Mel Gibson?
Yes.
People in political office. Who, yes. Yeah.
People in political office, and I want to really nail down the point that Ilhan Omar was specifically talking about the influence of lobbyists on lawmakers.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, talking about an outside influence and talking about money is a good thing and is the point that she was trying to make. Unfortunately, it does stumble into these tropes that Jews have dual loyalty and that we're all wealthy.
At any time, they could flip and just decide to go with the other side. And it's just so,
Yep.
She did say, you know, why is it okay for me to talk about the influences of the NRA, the fossil fuel industry, or Big Pharma, but I can't talk about a powerful lobby? And I think that's a really interesting point because and none of those other lobbies are, I guess I would argue the NRA is tied to Christianity and conservative Christianity in America, but none of those other industries that she mentioned are tied to a religion in the same similar way that AIPAC is.
Right.
Just by its very nature, Israel being a Jewish state, it is anything that is a pro-Israel, thing is going to be you know, pro-Jewish faith in that way. You can make that correlation.
Right. And I wanted to say something at the start of this, and then I forgot, which was, so I'm sitting here right as the the Jewish voice today. But on any one topic, you get two Jews, you have three opinions.
I have heard that, yes.
Yeah.
But fortunately, we only have one, so we're in good shape.
That's why we just invited
you. We only have one and a half opinions.
Right.
You just want to make it clear that, like, you're not representative of everyone. It's a diverse people with diverse...
Any guest we have, you're giving your opinion based on your experience.
And also, and along those lines, right, Israel does not represent all Jews. Jews do not represent Israel. These are different things. And you can be critical. You can be outright anti-Israel.
Yeah.
Without being anti-Jewish.
I feel
You can be more nuanced than that. You can be, you can even like Israel and want it to be better, which is how I feel about the country I live in, too.
Yeah.
Well, it's similar to the Catholic Church. I mean, you can be a Catholic and love your Catholic faith and also be super pissed about how often they're molesting kids. Like, you don't have to take it all as one thing, right? Like, you can it's I think that nuance is being lost in 2019. I think we can all agree that there's not a lot of nuance left in the world because we have to draw such stark lines.
And I think part of the problem we face with Ilhan Omar, and it's interesting when you look at the resolution that went through the House, the Democratic controlled House, I should just say, after her statements came to light, that part of the issue that we face is Islamophobia, in the sense that there are white Christian men predominantly saying anti-Semitic things all the time.
Oh, yes.
And they do not face the kind of scrutiny that a Muslim woman does when she says something that can be construed as anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm. And they do it unapologetically. I mean, in a couple instances when, you know, Ilhan Omar, when it was brought to her attention what she had said and or how she said it, and what, you know, she was kind of falling into, she, like Molly said, she's super apologetic. She seems genuinely concerned for the way she had her message out there. Meanwhile, other people who, you know, are anti-Semitic are no apology, no backpedaling, nothing. Like, they just keep going forward with it. Like,
no educating themselves, no trying to do better.
Right. Yeah.
I think that it's really important to notice that, too. It's because they don't want to pick on Representative Omar specifically for being Muslim so pointedly and directly, because they know that that would be too obvious. So this is another way to go after her.
Also a way to be racist.
Yeah. And because they're actually furthering the tropes by saying she's furthering the tropes. And because people who are like, wait, what tropes? They're being gleefully reported in some cases. Like, oh, didn't you know? Like, and it's this weird balancing act of calling someone out, but does calling them out actually reinforce the thing that was even being said in the first place?
Well, yeah. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of the response from some of my fellow white Jews has been motivated in part by racism and Islamophobia. I'm not sure how else they could justify it, given the people they aren't calling out.
And I try to explain to my kids the complexities of the situation. It's like Israel is in the middle of a region of the world that basically wants them gone. And you need to understand that whatever they do right and whatever they do wrong, they are in one of the most dangerous places in the world for them to be. And they're trying to make a home out of it. And that is a problem. And it's not It's not because everybody around them is Muslim. It's just because everybody around them hates them. And
in part because they keep killing people.
In part, and part of that is their own behavior.
Yeah.
And it's not a one-sided right. issue. It's certainly not a one-sided issue, but you do need to understand that.
Yeah. I think closer to the Yom Kippur War, it might have been closer to a one-sided issue, but there mm-hmm. were still Palestinians who... maybe we're cheering for the people bombing Israel, some of them. And I'm not saying that all of them.
Right.
They weren't the ones hurting Israelis.
Right. And I think, too, it's important to note that right now, Israel and the parts that we consider Palestine and all of that are, it's an apartheid state. A lot of Palestinians yes. are living in... You know, very similar to the way it was in South Africa, just rather than being based on white versus black, it's Jews and Muslims separated, Palestinians and Israelis, however they're, delineating right. it. Yeah. And for a lot of people, they're you know, losing homes on both sides. They're losing their homes, they're losing their family, they're losing their land. And it's, I think, a big problem that we're suffering from is Netanyahu is a difficult leader who is... very mercurial.
and it's interesting, the timing of this podcast, which yes. got delayed, that we're right now results are too close to call
yeah.
in the election.
Which would be a historic term for him if he got reelected. It would be his fourth term, or his fifth, I can't remember which, but it's, and it's interesting. In 2009, Netanyahu called for a Palestinian state publicly, and it was a huge deal. In part, it was to appease Barack Obama and to repair relations and to try to keep that going because Barack Obama was very much in favor. Because
he was a Muslim.
Of a Palestinian. I almost was like, yup, because I was like, oh my God. But then in 2015, Netanyahu decided he opposed that Palestinian state. And so it's been up and down. He rides, the wave of popularity. He's a populist leader. Very similar to the one we currently have.
He's a populist who also has support from two other world leaders who are in their own corruption quagmire.
Yes. Yeah. It's
Putin supports him as well as Trump.
Yep. We've got populist nightmares all joined together.
So both Russian leaders support him.
And right, both exactly. American leaders.
It's amazing.
There's so much... to all this that I don't feel informed enough to ever have an opinion that I'm willing to talk about or share with people because
it's got to be even more complicated, being a Jewish woman, because it's just a trickier place.
People who are way more informed than I am have no idea people that know enough to know that they have no fucking clue.
Yeah.
It's so tempting to just be like, well, you're in the wrong and you're in the right, so this needs to happen. Or, this is the problem, so obviously we need to do this. Mm-hmm. There's so much history and so much hate and so many complications from outside the country as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not the least of which, a lot of arms sales stuff happening where it's mm-hmm. like,
Israel is worth a lot of money to the United States in arms sales.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You can sympathize 100% with the Palestinian situation. And yet you can also point out that Hamas is terrible.
There's terrible things on both sides.
Hamas, who will use schools and hospitals as meeting places, so that Israel
right
will have to bomb.
And then what happened? Israel bombed a hospital, and that's what you hear.
And
there's so much propaganda coming out of both sides that honestly, anytime I see a news story, I truly don't know if what I'm reading is removed fact or is being shot through someone's personal.
And you just wish the governments could step out of the way in both cases and let the people figure it out.
Right. Right.
Except they're the ones that elected the government. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then there's the intelligence communities between the United States and
Israeli
Mossad are really close. There's a lot of old ties. There's a lot of Cold War history. There's a lot of really close old relationships, and like how many lives have been saved by that relationship. You know, how many like tips or how many things have stopped, mm-hmm. been stopped because of that. It's another thing that's like you start trying to like put lives on one side of the scale and another side of the scale. And even that just feels like kind of unethical. I don't know.
To the point of there's a lot of talk whenever there's discussions about Israel and Palestine and who should get what land, a lot of talk of biblical significance.
Sure.
And just religious historical significance to both sides, honestly. Like there are places both sides think that Abraham is buried. There are places that everyone's like, no, this is where this happened in the Old Testament, and no, this is where this happened in the Quran. And I guess
so you're talking specifically about Temple Mount, probably?
Probably, yeah. Yeah. But as people who are not really devout religious. I mean, the three of us are atheists, and I know that you are religious community stuff. You know, it's, yeah, exactly.
So it's actually a thing in Judaism that you do not have proper faith if you have not grappled with that faith.
That's awesome.
So,
that's
like,
so opposite of Christianity.
No, right?
Yeah, that's really cool.
So I know very few Jews who are like, yes, I believe in God. We're all more like, eh.
Okay.
Or so not all. The ones I know.
Sure.
Like,
so I guess my question is, how, just in your own personal opinion, this is just personal opinions I want to know about here. To what significance, I mean, how much significance and should we give people saying this has religious importance to me because I'm pretty sure that the book that we say is written by God, that stuff happened there. Should that matter? And when you think about this, please consider the way that you might feel about, say, native lands here in the United States,
right?
And things like that you know, Native American burial lots that were like, you know, should that? I know that I have feelings about graveyards and what a waste they are. But if they're already there, what do you do, right? Like it's
right.
So how do you feel about that? Should that matter in the conversation? That we're talking when we're talking about governments deciding who gets what land.
excuse me. So it's odd because in this case there are governments specifically, deciding this religious land.
Sorry.
which only happens in a couple of places in the world.
Yeah.
I do think that if people of a faith believe that that land is significant to them, mm-hmm. they should absolutely have access. They should, it's a weird compromise. So I went on a birthright trip and actually got to pray at the wall. And of course, like I got to go to the tiny little section for the women.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. and there was a kid on our trip who is, one of his parents is Pakistani and is Muslim, and his other parent was a white Jewish woman, and so he definitely got profiled at the airport when we landed, despite the fact that he was there for a birthright trip.
Wow.
And so when we were at the wall, he was like, wait, can I go up? I know it's Muslims only, but like...
Yeah.
There's got to be some upside to this.
Wow. So there are parts that are Muslims only and parts that are there parts that are only for Jews?
So there are parts that are controlled by Muslims and there are parts that are controlled by Jews.
Okay.
So like Christians can go and pray at the wall. They just have to respect like the dress code.
Sure.
Which is controlled by the Orthodoxy, so I like had to cover my shoulders and
of
my
course,
hair.
Yeah, no bare shoulders, no bare heads, and
I don't know what the rules actually would be for getting to go up onto the top of what we call the Temple Mount, but what is home to a mosque?
Yeah.
So
it's so tricky because the line between religious significance and cultural significance is so blurry for people that are religious, at least. I have no problems distinguishing my cultural being from religion because they're distinct.
Right.
So when it comes to, you know, deciding like, does it matter or not? Like, I as much as I think religion is, you know, kind of nonsense, and I kind of think fighting over religious stuff is
super plus double nonsense.
Super plus double nonsense.
Yeah.
I also think that, like, if someone, like, you don't get to decide whether or not you hurt someone,
yeah,
right? Like yes, if you exactly say something and you hurt someone's feelings, you don't get to decide that you didn't hurt their feelings. I feel like in the same way, you don't get to tell someone what isn't, that something that they say is important to them isn't important.
Or shouldn't be.
Or shouldn't be. Yeah. Right.
Yes, I
so
agree with that.
It's absolutely super tricky. Like, I don't think I have the right to tell anyone that they shouldn't care about land that they think has religious significance. I think it's kind of bullshit, but it's like not my place.
It's like if they told me that I couldn't go to Target. And they're like, you can't go to Target. And I'm like, but I'm a Minnesotan. Like, you don't understand. This is my culture. This is my identity. We started Target. No, but like, I'm trying to put it in terms that like can matter to people in ways that like, you know, maybe a commercial enterprise isn't. But I don't know if there's a Minnesota landmark.
Maybe if
like,
Target was 2,000 years old.
Sure.
Right.
Or
yeah.
Like, what if they're like, you can't go visit the Boundary Waters, right? Like, you can't.
Sure.
You can't go up north. You can't go to Superior. Like.
But what if only Minnesotans could visit Target, but not Wisconsinites?
And see, no, that's it's but that's kind of how it feels. And I've never felt like I belong to anything so strongly that
as Target,
as some people feel with their religions, or especially with religions that have more cultural or ethnic, you know, ties. Because Christianity, you know, the kind of Christianity that we all grew up with is just, you know, so white and loosely based on stuff. It's not like we weren't brought up in a Greek Orthodox faith or something where it's a cultural attachment to it.
Not in that same way. Not for me.
So I feel like I don't have that requisite experience to even be able to empathize with the situation, let alone try to understand it.
Well, and keep in mind that I grew up in North Dakota. I had services until I was 4 when my grandpa died.
Mm.
And then I didn't have services until I was 12.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And even then it was kind of spotty.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there aren't a lot of towns in North Dakota, so.
Right. You just can't.
Yeah, you just can't. Like, it takes a couple of years to get between them, right? Because you were still using covered wagons back 10 years ago.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So back to the question about sacred sites, biblical significance. The question it raises in my mind, and I agree with Nick, there needs to be some respect for what other people believe. And yet, I have been on the Acropolis in Greece, which was a holy site,
right?
But no longer is.
Because no one believes
in those gods anymore.
Well, the site isn't what's important. It's people, the way people feel about it is what's important.
Mm-hmm.
It's like American gods. All their gods lost their worshipers. They died out. And
yeah.
But honestly, like I meant to ask you, like when you were there, when you were at the wall, did you feel something bigger than yourself? And was it just because you were surrounded by people? Like, did it feel like something outside of just the significance people bring to it?
So I also have like delayed reactions. I think like it hit me afterward. Holy shit, I was just there.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm there, I'm like, I should like feel something.
Yeah.
Like I should feel moved here. And then also the rational part of me was going, why?
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
I mean, it is a place that's been significant to people for a couple thousand years.
Right.
But like I had the same right thing when I went bungee jumping. Like I just jumped off the thing and went, oh, right, now I'm falling.
Yeah.
So
it's more like and I think what a good takeaway is that there's this human connection that, you know, that is, it seems to be super significant. Like Tim's saying, the Acropolis, it doesn't have that same thing anymore.
Right, but
it's so old and that's so cool.
But the Acropolis, I would argue I had as much of a connection to that as somebody might feel being at the Wailing Wall of something bigger than myself, but it was a different.
Right.
But I mean, there was a rational,
historical.
It was like I'm on the fucking Acropolis,
yeah.
I felt it
was kind of more cultural than religious, and that's
sure.
Kinda,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I felt the same thing when I was in St. Peter's Basilica. It's like,
yeah,
looking at the artwork in that place and looking at you know, like, because it's so fucking big, there were like five different services going on in that goddamn place at the same time.
Oh my God.
And, you know, they were with all the incense burners and all the bishops dressed in all their all the regalia. And they, and it was moving, but it wasn't spiritual at all, you know, but was I moved by it? Yes.
Sure. Is there, Shannon, is there anything that you think, is there anything that if you could go today and it would be like everybody who deals with the U.S.-Israel relations, they're here and they're here to listen to you, Shannon. Like, like, and it, you don't have to, you don't have to solve anything. Just like, if do you feel like if there was something that you could, that they just need to get in their heads to just try to figure out how to, like, what would it be?
Fix it, Shannon.
Yeah.
No pressure.
Fix it.
It's more like, I don't know. Just what is something big or small that you think would help a lot?
So, I've had a real problem, right, in addition to the racism that I've seen from white Jews lately. But this idea, Israel exists because after the Holocaust, people were like, okay, they were refugees and they got turned away from how many places?
Oh, yeah. Dozens and dozens of countries.
Like America.
Yeah. Like America. Yeah, the 20s and 30s, we were busy changing our immigration laws so that Jews couldn't get in. They were literally changing their quotas.
It's weird. I don't know any country that's doing that right now.
It's so weird.
No, not at all. Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, the vast majority of the people of Palestine are in a similar refugee situation. Hmm. They need their own country. They need their own place to live. Or they need full citizenship. And we're supposed to welcome the stranger, like, especially as we are approaching Passover. Like,
yeah.
You are strangers in the land of Egypt. Therefore, you will welcome the stranger.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how you feel about them. You were supposed to give them hospitality. And we need to remember
too, so.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that, I 100% agree. I think that it's so much of what's needed is compassion. I think people keep trying to approach this rationally, and I don't think there's a rational solution. I think that
I think that's a really good way to look at it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to logic our way out of this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Awesome. Thank you. This is, I think we solved it, guys.
Thank goodness.
We got it.
Yeah, we got it.
All right. Let's just send this over to Netanyahu and say,
Jesus.
Yeah. Here's the plan.
Here you go.
Maybe Gantz. We'll see.
Maybe Gantz.
Hey, maybe.
Oh, sure. I'm sure.
He's not amazingly leftist, but like, would be better.
Yeah, yeah. you wanted to say you wanted to talk about Russian doll.
Oh yeah.
Yes, because there was something cool.
So I actually ended up wearing my height necklace. So in like Jewish numerology, the letters have numbers assigned to them, and then they have meaning. And so the number 18 is associated with life. And it is considered a blessing, for instance, to give money in multiples of 18.
Oh.
Huh.
So if you see, like, if you ever see donation sites with a bunch of numbers like 36 or 72, that is probably a Jewish person donating
a
multiple of 18. And in Russian Doll, the character Nadia is turning 36.
Oh.
Yep.
And that 36 can mean, like, a double blessing or even a second chance at life.
That's amazing.
So
that is super cool. That is really cool. Yeah.
See, and I was born on September 18th, so that means I'm immortal.
Yes.
Yeah,
sweet.
Blessing and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what that is.
My birthday adds up to 18? No.
I'm pretty sure that's what it means, Nick. I just...
No. All right, it's time for five questions.
Five questions.
Woo! I told you our five questions ahead of
you
time.
Did.
So she's a little prepared.
Able to,
yeah, that's great. All right, so Nick, start us off with question one.
What conspiracy theory do you find most interesting or compelling?
I mostly find it irksome. So there aren't really conspiracy theories that I find compelling.
Oh, yes. This can be compelling in a way where you're like, what the fuck? Like,
okay, cool. Great. So for the past several years, I've been doing climate math.
Ooh.
And right before the 2016 election, we were like, yeah, maybe we'll get more funding. And then no.
Somehow less.
How'd that happen?
So what I find amazing is that there are some people who actually believe that the 97 to 98% of scientists who work on climate have formed a conspiracy to say that climate change is real.
Yeah.
So they can buy Porsches.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Because 97% of people fighting over the public funding that is available is a really good way to go when there's 2 to 3% hanging out over here getting money from big oil. Right.
Yeah.
Not all of them are,
agree.
But a lot of them are. No.
People don't realize that the conspiracy here is that oil companies have known about climate change for 50 years and have been found guilty of covering it up.
Maybe that is my most compelling one.
The real conspiracy?
Right, yeah.
What conspiracy fact do you find?
Right? Isn't that great?
But, I mean, they're found guilty. Yeah. Like, they've been sued over it.
Yes, indeed.
Question number two, what is your perfect 2-week vacation? Money is no object, but physics is a limiting factor.
I want to go on the International Space Station.
Yeah. Sweet.
For the whole 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, yeah.
I mean, maybe to the moon if we go back there.
Once you get up there, why would you want to just go back?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, it's pretty small.
How long does it take to get up there? Like
most of a day. You're probably pretty spent after the pulling the sheets.
It's like flying to Hawaii.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. you get gravity lagged and you...
Yeah.
You bring in all your equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet. I mean, if you preload your iPad with Netflix, I mean, really, you're set, right?
Oh, man. No, I'd want to do the experiments.
Yeah. Well, there's got to be some downtime.
I'd be terrible at it, but I'm not trained.
You
got to
exercise
that.
2 hours a day, every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or your muscles will deteriorate.
That's awesome.
Woohoo!
Anyway, yeah, sounds fun.
Question number three. What is a movie or a book that's changed your life and why?
So I kind of have two answers, but I think I'm going to go with Female Chauvinist Pigs.
Is it a book?
It's a book.
Nice.
That I read as part of a philosophy class that was actually about ethics, but we went into sexual ethics, and that included some gender ethics, which was delightful. And so it was all about how women are awful to each other.
Yeah. Awesome. No, I would love to read that book because that is so true.
It's great.
I mean, fuck you, Shannon. You're wrong.
I love you so much, Molly.
Oh my
you're
God,
so
you're
great.
The best.
You're the best.
I hate her.
Women, am I right? Yeah.
Tim, I acknowledge your existence.
Yeah. You are also there, Nick.
All right.
That's awesome.
Toxic masculinity. I have emotions.
So good.
It's so much better.
Yeah.
Wait.
Is it a good read? Is it a fast read or is it a crunchy read?
I remember it was a pretty quick read.
Yeah.
Interspersed with interviews with people. It might also be relatively dated at this point, but it was one of those first books that introduces you to an idea.
Yeah.
And then you just start seeing it everywhere.
Oh, sure.
Yes. Yes.
And it was, sort of really the first time that I actually read a feminist book. And it was wonderful.
That's awesome. Mm. That's a great answer. All right, Nick.
Question number four. What's the geekiest thing you've ever done or said?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a thing that marries so much of my nerdery with my geekery.
All right.
So I just got done with grad school for math.
Hey, awesome.
Thank you. And I got to teach a class dressed as Miss Frizzle.
That's awesome.
In a costume that I made myself using pieces from a vintage shop.
That is so and nerdy a craft store. And dorky. I love it.
And in order to make Liz, the lizard, mm-hmm. I needed to make horns. And the easiest way for me to do that, given my skill set, was to just knit up a couple of horns for Liz out of yarn that I had because I made Jane hats.
Oh.
Boy, that is geeky.
Layers. Yeah,
that's a layered set of geekiness. Wonderful. Yeah, that's very well done. Okay, question number five. What is your favorite hangover cure?
Not getting them. And I know people have answered that before. but my method of prevention is to drink less of better alcohol avoid sugary things.
The sugary things is actually a good tip because I have noticed the sugarier the drinks, the harder they hit me. And I think it's the sugar crash on top of the alcohol crash.
I think a part of it is that also sugar is used to cover shitty booze.
Hmm.
Like, I think it's a two-part thing. It's not just the sugar. I think also it's like when you're drinking, you know, a convention room party's drink and it's...
Oh, my God.
I was just going to say, you can just come for convention.
Except the vault. The vault does beautiful
things.
That's
true.
All right.
True.
All right.
They spend a lot of money.
Trust you.
Yeah. Some of them, it's like, you know, we'll just make a double strong batch of Kool-Aid and then drump in this engine cleaner. Like, it's... Yeah, it's...
See what you're missing, Tim?
God, it really makes me excited about drinking a lot this year.
Yeah, your diabetes and the alcohol. Both. We call that 1-2 punch. It is actually a drink available at my room party.
Oh,
man.
Oh, God.
Convergence 2019.
Yeah. Shannon, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you all.
Really, really great. And obviously, listeners, if you have... You want to weigh in on this very thorny topic, please, by all means,
come
on in and do it. I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to delete anything that's even being ironically, sarcastically, like dog whistly anti-Semitic guys. Like, I'm not worried about it. I'm just saying.
It seems unlikely from this crew.
People lately have been like saying things that they think are funny because it's like, no, but it's funny because I'm so obviously not anti-Semitic. And it's like,
pose law.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard it.
Ugh, I'm so sorry that you've heard it.
It's okay.
Let's all go vote in Woo-hoo. 2020. All right.
Again.
Thank you so much.
Maybe this time it'll work.
Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, rate us on iTunes and Stitcher and all the places. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors. Get everybody on the Geeks Without God train. We have tons of five questions.
Choo choo.
We're really grateful to you guys for turning out with your five questions for us. But if you haven't done it and you still want to send them in, please do. Five questions at geekswithoutgod.com. No question too small, too crazy, too big, too philosophical. We'll answer them all.
Too impossible for us to answer.
Nick Glover, we have some new Patreons.
What?
Yeah, we do. Patrons. I don't think we've said thank you to Sam Farmer, who is going to get like a button or a sticker or something. We'll figure that out. And then David McKay just bumped up his patronage.
Oh, that guy.
Because he's a stellar guy.
There's another one you have to read. Somebody changed their pledge, remember?
Oh,
and you have to read it.
Hang on.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
God damn it. I just undid my search. I can't find it.
I have it. Hang on. It's worth this. Hang on.
I'm just gonna sit here and talk about other things. Oh, never mind.
These people that are I found it. These people that are supporting us are getting episodes early. Maybe a button or sticker sent their way. But someone edited their pledge from $1 to $2.15.
It was our friend FreeThinker215 who changed their pledge.
Who changed their name on their pledge to, by reading this aloud, I agree to give FreeThinker215 one free blowjob. They edited their pledge. So now they get those... all these episodes early, which is great. Great for them.
And they get a blowjob.
I don't know from who.
It's a thing I said.
I don't know.
It doesn't have to be from one of us. I didn't say. I just, you know, you get a blowjob.
Well, that's true.
You have to go
for free.
You will give FreeThinker215 a free blowjob somehow.
So
we got a dog.
Jesus. We'll send you a coupon. You have to figure out where to redeem it.
Probably Hobby Lobby.
Oh, snap. Right.
Thank you all so much, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow, is there any problem we can't solve?
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
And then eventually we're going to do something with this.